For a while now, as we've met together as elders, we've kind of had in our hearts to talk about social media, which is something that I think it's fair to say most of you and most of us are involved with, right? Most of us have an account with some social media platform, or if not, you know, our children or a spouse or people close to us are involved in this. Now, we believe firmly that the Bible speaks to every issue that we may encounter in our lives as Christians. Right? We believe that the Bible has something to say about anything that we can come across. Now, it doesn't speak to it directly, right? The Bible didn't anticipate social media. That's a 20th century invention. Frankly, 20 years ago, people didn't envision social media. But the Bible has principles, timeless principles that it lays out that we can examine to say, okay, how ought we to approach social media? What does the Bible say about social media and how can we participate as Christians in a God-honoring way? So we're going to try something different this week. We thought it might be fun, you know, kind of as an in-between week to get the perspective of all of the elders. Now, these guys will preach sometimes, and I preach most of the time up here. But this week, we're all going to preach, okay? So you're going to get kind of, you know, a triple dose of elders. Now, we won't all preach a full sermon, so don't freak out. It'll be the normal time, but it'll kind of give us the opportunity to share some differing perspectives that we have. And in fact, the elders, we do have three sort of different perspectives on social media and whether or not Christians ought to be involved in it. And if so, how? Okay. So I'd like to turn, before I do that, I do want to define social media because it's kind of a very broad word. We're going to take it in sort of the broadest possible sense. Things like Facebook and Twitter are kind of what were on our minds as we were preparing this, but also Instagram, which is primarily picture-based, and YouTube can also be with videos. But I think the main thing that we're trying to keep in mind is, number one, how, as Christians, can we approach primarily written communication, right? Things that are written and not verbal. And also, how do we approach the virtual space, interacting with people when you're not face-to-face with them, and maybe you don't even know them personally, okay? So kind of keep that at the back of your mind, and then I'd like you to welcome up Chris. He's going to talk first.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to share and share some thoughts on social media. So to start with, I kind of wanted to give a foundation for why we even are interested in this topic. So first of all, one of the dominant themes throughout Scripture is that God calls us to be relational. And this flows out of the fact that God himself is a relational being. He's a Trinity. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are in relationship with each other. And they desire to relate to us. And so much of the Scripture is giving us direction and calling us into relationships and showing us how to relate to each other. God calls us to forgive, to encourage. All of these things are aspects of relationship. And at the heart of relationship is communication. There are different aspects of relationship, but at the very heart of it is communication. When we forgive each other, we do so by expressing it in communication. We encourage each other through communication. We rebuke. We confess to each other. We exhort. We teach. These are all done through communication. And so there's other aspects of relationship, physical presence and so forth, that are important and valuable. But communication really is at the heart of relationship. And this draws us to the question of social media and online communication, because these are tools for communication. And if these are potentially tools for communicating and helping with relationships, they're something that we need to consider and understand how to do well. Like all tools that are available to us, whether they're vocational tools, whether they're things in society, policies, are different things in the world, they all have the potential to be used for good and to be used for bad. Most tools, if they're just used in their natural way, according to our natural instincts and desires, they eventually lead to corruption. It is only when we use tools in an intentional way to use them redemptively that they are actually used well. So I wanted to go through just several aspects of dangers and warnings with social media and how they also serve as opportunities. So first of all, like Derek mentioned, it's a written form of communication, and written communication is hard. It's difficult. It's challenging. We have a lot of practice with verbal communication. We are very good with body language, expressing emotional cues with our body, discerning facial expressions, We psychologically have trust when we're looking into someone's eyes, and a lot of that is gone with written communication. So it's fundamentally more difficult for us as humans to communicate with each other. But that doesn't mean it's inferior. In fact, the way God primary way that God communicated with us is in written form. And throughout scriptures, we read stories of how important messages were given in written form. And there's a lot of advantages to written form. It gives us the opportunity to more carefully think through what we're going to say to someone. And another principle that I think is very important in considering this written communication, Paul says that he wants to be all things to all people that he might save some. He's making himself available to people wherever they're at. And different people communicate in different ways better. Extroverts tend to do very well with verbal communication. Oftentimes, introverts aren't necessarily less inclined to communication, but are less comfortable with verbal communication and may actually prefer written communication. And so it's my desire that I want to make myself available to everyone in their form of communication. If you prefer to talk to me, that's great. Let's talk. If you prefer to write to me, that's great. If you do well with online social media, I want to interact with you there. I want to make myself available in every form possible to communicate with you. Next is the danger of lack of authenticity. You see on social media a lot of superficial communication, right? People are fake, trying to give a veneer. And authenticity really is at the heart of a relationship. It's so critical for us to be vulnerable and transparent with each other. But online communication also gives us a real opportunity to pursue that. We can authentically share our challenges, our difficulties, our views, our perspectives in a social media setting. And Jesus talks about the concept of light and darkness. Light is something that makes things visible. Darkness is about concealing, hiding things. Jesus, when he was questioned by the high priest, he said, "I have spoken all of these things openly. I've said nothing in secret." He lived a transparent, open life. And so that's something that I want to inspire to endeavor, and I hope that we all do, is to live a transparent life. And one of the things that we can do that, use social media and online tools to do that. I've written a lot of blog posts. I want my beliefs, my values to be out there publicly available. And that gives an opportunity for me to connect with a broader range of people. There's plenty of people in Oregon that when we go back and visit them, that when we see each other, they can say, "Hey, those are some great pictures from China. That looked like an awesome trip. That broken finger you had looks terrible." And it was. Yes, I agree. Right? So it cuts both ways. There's a lot of lack of authenticity. And a lot of that comes from the fact that we can vulnerably and transparently share our hearts with people. But social media can also be used the other way. Oftentimes, the share button, the forward button on email, the retweet button, they're mechanisms to share other people's beliefs. And that undermines community. That's a lack of authenticity. But there are great opportunities for authenticity. And finally, it's worth mentioning, I mean, if anyone has been on social media recently, you probably have had the thought, you know, this is occasionally a thought, this is a big mire of negativity and divisiveness and noise. And yeah, I definitely see that as well. There's a lot of dangers there. But one of the things to keep in mind is that relationships themselves are inherently messy. God calls us to forgive people because he expects us to be in relationships where we're going to be hurt. He calls us to bear with one another because the expectation is that we're going to be around people that are hard to bear with. Relationships are inherently messy. He calls us to pursue peace and harmony because we are going to be in divisive situations. And so when we come to social media, if we come to it with the purpose of relating as God has called us to relate, we come to it with the expectation that it's going to be a messy place and difficult and challenging. But we are still supposed to be a light in this world, a demonstration of Christ's actions, Christ's values, even in the midst of some of that difficulty. So I wanted to end with a little bit of an analogy, and this is an analogy I actually want to unpack more in a later sermon. But I want you to think for just a minute Imagine for a moment that we were the first generation to eat together. For some reason, no one had invented a dining table before, right? And so we were the first generation to eat together. What would that be like? Well, anyone who's had toddlers knows what people are like when they first learn to eat together. There's food being thrown, food being grabbed, burping, it's a mess. It's an absolute mess, right? And the reason that coming together to eat together has become something that is actually a very enjoyable experience is because we've had centuries of building up social etiquette that we've learned to use for honoring and respecting each other when we come together at the table. In many ways, social media is we're the first generation that's doing this, and it's messy. And so there's a lot of pitfalls. But if we apply intentionality, and again, we're going to talk about a lot of those dangers. There's dangers of it becoming addictive. It can waste our time. We can get caught up in the negativity. There are certainly mediums in which it's just simply too toxic for us to enter into in a positive way and to contribute. But I think that there are opportunities. And just like when we come together to eat, if we learn to do so in a way where we're taking biblical principles and intentionally applying them so that we can respect and honor each other, there are opportunities to use the new tools that are available to us for communication and use them in a redemptive way to honor each other and to continue to use everything available to pursue God's call for being relational with each other. So thank you. And now let's hear a different perspective from Ross.
Good morning, everybody. Thanks, Chris. I appreciate your input, and thanks for the introduction. So again, my name is Ross. I'm one of the elders here, and I'm really glad to be able to talk about this topic today. It's something that I feel strongly about. And as we entered into discussions going into this, it's obvious that we all have pretty strong opinions about it, and that's where we kind of came to the conclusion it would be good to get all of them out on the table. My opinion with social media is, as Chris said, you know, there are certain situations that are simply too toxic to enter. And I think in general, social media falls in that category. I really think the world would be a better place without it. And so I think that it's best just to abstain from it. One of the biggest fronts that I see the enemy moving on in our culture today, in this time and place that we find ourselves, is that he isolates people. And he does this by annulling all of their genuine relationships. And though we're a generation that's so interconnected, it's surface level. And those connections don't really have much depth to them. And that leaves people feeling isolated. And I think that social media is actually one of the largest tools that the enemy is using to advance this. And you don't have to look very far to see this, right? I mean, all of us, you go out into the world, you go out to eat, you go out to the store, anywhere you are where you're amongst people, what you see is everybody's glued to their phones. They can't get away from them, right? Especially when you look at the younger generations, I might see a group out to eat with 5 or 6 or 10 people, and not one of them is even looking at each other. They're all on their phone. I see couples out all the time, dating or married. Not a word is spoken between them. They're just on their phones. I see parents out ignoring their kids and even the kids themselves with their phones, right? They're glued to media all the time. And a big part of that is this addiction to social media. And the thing is, as Chris also talked about, it's so detrimental because we were created to be communal. We were created for relationship. God himself is innately communal. In the beginning, before he created man, if you go read in Genesis, what he says is, let us create, right? Let us create man. God himself, there's something about his essence that is relational. And then what does he do when he creates man? He creates man and woman to be companions. We were never intended to be alone. So Ecclesiastes 4:9-12, two are better than one, because they have good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can we keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. And in Matthew, for where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. See, we're even created to worship and to pursue God in community. And then I really want to focus on these last two. These are all just examples of scripture, and they're a long list. I just picked a few of why we're supposed to be, of how we're supposed to be communal. These last two, oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from earnest counsel. And bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. See, these last two are so important. Because I think this is where social media really undermines genuine relationship. No one goes to social media to seek earnest and wise counsel. No one goes to social media to really pour out their hearts and allow others to take on burdens with them. And this is important. We need this. We were created for it. And what social media does is it counterfeits these things. There's so much information there that we're taking into our hearts and our minds that we may think we're getting wise counsel, and even we think we're not, but it's still going in here, right? And our minds and our hearts are intertwined. As a side note, if you want to know how intertwined they are, go search the Bible for everywhere that it talks about your heart and your mind together. I haven't done it, but it's a lot. It's something that I've been meditating on a lot recently. So I don't have a number for you, but you will see it throughout. You can't separate the two. But what happens with social media, so often people get on there and they want to offer up these rants about this or that, or they want to get into this posture of, oh, woe is me. Look at, you know, how hard my life is. And I wager that that is because there is a real need for sympathy there, or there is a real need for companionship and to have others come around them and get behind this rallying cry of what they believe. But social media is undermining the genuineness of it. You know, if you go pour out your heart on social media, what are you going to get back? A tweet? A Facebook thread? You don't really get what you need there. You don't get real genuine support. But we have a need for that. We have a need for, you know, learning from others. We have a need for this cross-generational teaching. And social media is siloing people and taking that away. It counterfeits that relationship. So what we see in that is that it's taking authentic relationship and it's substituting in inauthentic relationships. And not only does it do it in the relationships that you're receiving back, but it also does it with the person that's, you know, engaging. It does it for ourselves. So when you look at people's image on social media, what you see is a carefully crafted portrayal of who they think they want to be, or who the world wants them to be, or who they think the world wants them to be. It's this living the dream generation. I can't tell you how often I hear that. I talk to old friends that I haven't seen in years, ask them how they're doing, and they tell me, oh, you know, man, living the dream. And as soon as I hear that, I think, why don't you tell me how you're really doing? You know, you just want me to think you're doing really well. And that's great. I understand that, but I actually care. And social media undermines that because it's our tendency as man. That's how we work, is that we want to put out a good image because that's what we see. We look at outer appearances. 1 Samuel 16:7, this is when God was selecting David to take over the kingdom of Israel, to follow Saul, right? He says, do not look at his appearance or the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. See, this is hard to do even when we are intentional about it. You know, if we want to portray ourselves in an authentic way, it's difficult to do even when we're intentional. And if we're looking at someone else and trying to piece together who they really are, it's impossible. You know, it doesn't start like that. It doesn't work like that. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is a deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? And what it goes on to say after that is, but I, the Lord, search every heart and every mind. See, God knows our hearts and our minds, but when we try to search them ourselves, it's challenging even when we're intentional, even when we're looking at ourselves. But we need it. So how do we model that authentic relationship? What should that look like? I think there's actually a really good model of that in the Bible. And again, we're going to go back to David. See, God said that David is a man after his own heart. And what do we see David doing? So if David's after God's heart, what does David do? Psalm 139, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." See, in order to get close to God, David poured his heart out. He recognized that I have a hard time with even sorting out what's going on up here and what's going on in my heart. But God, I want you to search it. I want you to know me because I'm after your heart as well. And that's where relationship starts. That's what it's about. That's where you get genuine connection. And then what precipitates out of that? This next scripture, 1 Chronicles 28:9. This is David talking to his son. And he says, "And you, Solomon, my son, know the God of your father and serve him with a whole heart and a willing mind, for the Lord searches all hearts and understands every plan and thought." See, this gets passed on from one generation to the next. Solomon, God said that Solomon is the wisest that had ever been and will ever be. Where did he start to get his wisdom? From his father. From genuine relationship. It gets passed on. But see, social media tends to undermine that. It silos us, and we could go into length about how it widens these generational gaps, about how it keeps people connected with groups that they tend to associate with already, but you're not taking in other pieces of information and learning true wisdom from other people that have other backgrounds. So what else can we say about authenticity, about truth? How are those two related? So authenticity and truth are closely related, but they're not exactly the same thing. Authenticity is living in truth. It is the act of portraying truth. It's your whole life. It's your whole image. What do you actually do? And we see this in 1 John 1:6. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. See, what this is saying is that fellowship is important, but if we're claiming to have that fellowship, but we're not authentic about it because we're not practicing the truth, then what we're doing is walking in the darkness. What we're doing is being inauthentic, right? The life, the path that we're on is inauthentic, and that's not where you get fellowship. I also want to talk about John 8:31-32. "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And I want to wrap this back around to social media, that see what happens with social media so often, more often than not, and what is just ripping at the fabric of our communities, is that it doesn't allow people to be free. We build up these facades, and what we see around us is other facades that we think we need to live up to, that we think that's what I want, because what we see, we intake, and it gets permeates down into our hearts. We think that's what I want, that's what life's about, that's who I'm supposed to be, and then we're trapped in that because it's not the truth, and it's the truth that we need to be free. I don't think social media offers us that. Okay. Thanks for giving me 10 or 12 minutes to talk to you. I'll pass it off to Derek.
Thanks, brother. So I get to be the closer today. And I'm going to set my timer so you guys can have lunch today. I was telling my wife it's actually harder to preach a 10-minute sermon than a 40-minute one. So we'll see how we do. Ross and Chris both approach this from a relational aspect, right? We all agree, and the Bible teaches clearly, the relationships are a good thing. We're called to have relationships. God is a relational God. And so Chris approaches social media and says, this is an innovation that God has given us that allows us to pursue relationship in new ways, right? We can have new kinds of relationships. We can have relationships with more people than we could before through social media. So therefore, it's a good thing, and we need to emphasize that good and pursue that. Ross takes a different perspective and says, you know, there is an inherent danger in this new form of relationship. And that danger is we might be tempted to replace authentic relationship, in-person, face-to-face, old school kind of family relationship with a new kind of something that's similar, but maybe counterfeit, right? So maybe we ought to be careful and stay away. I'm coming at this from a different perspective. I think that so many of the things that we find in this world are neutral. They're neither good nor bad, and they are used for good and for bad. And I think social media falls right into this category. So what I think that we ought to do as Christians is take a page from so much of what Paul and some of the other pastors in the Bible put out in their epistles, and we need to be intentional about the way that we pursue social media. Social media is a neutral thing. It just is there. It's neither good nor bad by itself, but it's how we use it that becomes good or bad. Now, as Christians, we are called to live intentionally in everything that we do, to have a purpose, to pursue that. So, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, and it should be up on the screen behind me, "Do you not know, Christians, that in a race, all the runners run, but only one receives the prize. So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." Paul was in Corinth, the city of the Corinthians, during the time of what's called the Isthmian Games. Okay, they're like the Olympic Games. There's big sporting spectacle, huge thing. And we know because of the timing of his journeys that he was probably there during it. And so it's interesting that he's bringing this up to the Corinthians. He's like, you know, that huge sporting event that we have that has boxing, that has pancreation, which is like anything goes, MMA fighting, it's got running, it's got, you know, all of these different sporting events he's talking about. And he says, look at athletes, okay, the way that they pursue this. They are intentional. He says, when you run as a runner, you have to have a goal. You have to have a place that you are going. If you don't, you're not really competing. You're just sort of running aimlessly, right? And so he says, as Christians, this is how we live our lives in every aspect. So many of us treat the Christian life as something that is just like a piece of the puzzle. You know, Christianity is something that we do on Sunday morning. Christianity is a group of friends, and then we've got our work group, and we've got our, you know, neighbor group, and we've got our, you know, college friends group, or school friends group, right? But that's not the way the Bible describes this. We talk so much here at Sandy Ridge about how Christianity is a movement, right? It is the movement of the kingdom of God. It's not just a belief system that gets us into heaven. But it's also something that is trying to accomplish a purpose here on earth. And so as Christians, when we enter into this movement, we're signing up for something beyond just going to church for 2 hours on Sunday morning, right? We are trying to change this world that we live in. We cannot do that unless we are all in. There's no way to kind of contribute an hour or two a week to the cause and have it get anywhere. God calls for all of us, for all of you. And he has purposes that he wants to accomplish. He has things that he wants to do in this world today. And so as Christians, we need to orient ourselves, and we need to always have this at the beginning of our mind, that everything we do ought to be moving forward that movement, moving forward that purpose. It is all of us. We are all in, or we are worthless for this thing, okay? So when we approach social media, we need to understand, where are we going? What's the purpose? What's our intention with this? We don't get to just show up and, you know, whatever happens, happens. We need to be going somewhere, and we can't do that unless we know what we're working for. It's important to have a goal, in other words. So what's your goal when you use social media? Have any of us ever asked this question before? Why am I using it? What am I trying to accomplish? Here's some biblical goals I say could be accomplished through social media. Evangelism, telling others about Jesus, right? And next week we're going to give a sermon about that, evangelism on social media. And so we'll delve into that a lot more, but just suffice to say, you can evangelize on social media. That's a worthy goal. Relationships, as Chris said, You can pursue relationships on social media. There is a way to honor God with your relationships through the use of social media. Advocacy, okay? Taking worthy things that move forward the movement of the kingdom of God. There are a lot of things that we care about as Christians, amen? Because the Bible tells us to care about them. And that is a format, a forum where we can come and say, these are some things I care about. Here are some things you might want to think about. Have you considered this? And try and push people toward what we see as important things. And finally, it's possible to use social media as kind of an instructional tool. Now, hear what I'm saying here. You can learn about new things that are useful through social media, although I will enter in a caveat here. This is really hard to do well. And frankly, it probably depends on the platform that you're using. Facebook's not a good place to learn about stuff. It's just not, right? usually on Facebook, you get things in meme format. Memes, for a variety of reasons, even if they are technically true, are usually not useful, right, in terms of learning. But there are other social media formats like Reddit that can be useful depending on how you use it for learning new things and growing your mind and stretching that. So those are some worthy goals, I think, that we can use to approach it. Unfortunately, most of us aren't using it for those, at least not primarily, right? Most of us use social media for some unworthy goals. Like we get on to argue, right? And this isn't the same as advocacy. Advocacy is going into the public sphere with the truth in order to try and win some, right? The verse right before this, Chris quoted it, that I quoted, it's Paul, and he's laying out his thesis, and he's saying, I'm becoming all things to all people, and I'm getting out there so that they will listen to me. And so that by sharing the truth, I might win some, right? The difference between that and just going out and loudly broadcasting the truth, even if it is true, just for the sake of having someone come back against us. I think if we're honest, some of us do this, right? Because it feels good. You have people come back and we're like, all right, I got my arguments ready. Like, let's throw down. Let's do this. Maybe we recognize that we have no chance in this format, no chance here to change minds. We just enjoy the process. We enjoy getting into it. We enjoy winning, right? We enjoy making them cry, right? Maybe not, but we get in. And just kind of the process of one-upping people is what we're in it for. That's not biblical. Of course, Paul also, in 1 Corinthians a little bit later, talks about love. We talk about it at weddings, but we don't usually give the whole thing. He's saying, if you are incredibly intelligent and you can own the cons or own the libs, right? And you like guzzle their tears, but you don't have love, it's worthless. If you can do miracles, right? But you don't have love, it's worthless. If you know everything, you're just like a human encyclopedia, but you don't have love, you gain nothing. And so arguing for the sake of arguing is not something that Christians can do. We just don't have the license, the freedom to do that. Tribal signaling is another thing. Some of us like to get out there and just kind of shout our opinions. And we're hoping that other people who agree with us will come back and be like, amen, brother. Amen, sister. Like, I agree. It doesn't serve a purpose, guys. Because that's making it all about you, right? Hey. The Bible says that our identity ought to be based in Christ. You know what this means? This phrase, our identity ought to be based in Christ. It means it doesn't matter what other people think. It means that if you are the only person in the world who follows Jesus, that's enough. Because he loves you and he's God and he's the only one who matters. We don't need the approval of other people. And if you do, you need to check your heart and you need to go to God. So this is a sin issue probably. God needs to be enough for you. And so when we go to social media, we may be trying to change hearts and change minds, but we are not just broadcasting what we already think in hopes that others will say yes, yes, and amen. And finally, an unworthy way to use social media, I would say, is for entertainment. Okay? And I think this is how a lot of us get into the social media game, right? We get into it and we like see a cat video. Like, that cat fell down. He has no, like, dexterity at all. And there's another video, and it's the same thing. It's awesome. Or, you know, look, there's someone who's, like, making food, right? Like, this is fascinating. What? They're using Jell-O to make candy. Like, it's crazy. Or here's someone putting on their makeup. Like, how in the world? Sorry. The things I look at are dumb, too, all right? So here's the thing. We are meant to be single-minded in our focus, right, as Christians. We are meant to be advancing the cause of Christ. That doesn't mean that we never get to relax and enjoy life a little bit, right? Even though this world that we live in is cursed, it is a beautiful place, and God gave it to us for our good, and it is good, and it is right for us to recognize His creativity and His beauty and to enjoy it a little bit, right? We work hard as Christians. We're called to work hard, but God commands, He doesn't ask nicely, He commands that we take a day off every week so that we can relax, right, and recharge. So there's something good and godly about that. And there's nothing wrong per se with pursuing entertainment, but I think there is a huge, huge risk with social media that we'll fall into a period of addiction, right? That we will not be able to set time limits and that we will overextend ourselves there, and that the best of our efforts, the first fruits of our energy, will go to something that is not advancing the kingdom of God. Okay. So having said all that, once we have a goal, we need to make sure that we're actually working toward it. Paul says, when you're running, make sure you know where you are going, because if you're just running for the sake of running, you're not winning the race, right? If you're boxing, he says, try and hit the other person in the face. I mean, that's what boxing is. I'm sorry, guys. By the way, boxing is really old. Have you noticed that? Like, it extends almost 1,000 years before Paul wrote this, and this was 2,000 years before now. Anyway, but he's saying when you're trying to box with someone, don't start swinging haymakers, right? Aim, I guess, is what he's saying. Maybe to put it into a different perspective that comes down to our level. I'm coaching a lot of soccer teams these days. I've got 3 young boys. I actually really like it now. Didn't used to like it. Why? Because when I first started coaching with my kids, it was what's called bumblebee ball. Okay. Wherever the ball goes, the whole team goes. Okay. They call it like little bumblebees. And so they follow it around. That's not great from a tactical perspective, right? Because it ends up being just sort of this wall of tiny humanity bumping up against one another. And then the ball will kind of spurt out one way, and then maybe someone accidentally knocks it into the goal. It's not good. So much better if you have one person go to where the ball is, and everyone else kind of spreads out, and then they can pass it to each other. Now I'm coaching my 8-year-old, okay? And he is getting so much better, by the way. If I can brag on him a little bit, he had the best game of the entire year this last Thursday. So super proud, Papa. Love this. But now, at the beginning of the year, they did the bumblebee ball, okay? First and second graders. But this is kind of the transition moment. They've got goalies now. It's a bigger field now, right? And so I've been coaching them since day one. Don't all go where the ball goes. You all have a position. Okay, you are right midfield. That means you're allowed to go up to this point, but no farther. You can't go on the whole field. You go up to here. And you can go up this way laterally, but I don't want you to come back past this point. Took them a while to get it, but now they're finally getting it. And we crushed the other team this last Thursday. Why? Because they're playing bumblebee ball, and we were passing like rock stars. Our kids were all spread out, and they were passing it to each other, right? And they're open. There's one guy standing way over here. No one's near him. They pass over to him, and he takes it all the way up, and he scores. Why do I bring any of this up? Because when we go into social media, we need to understand why it is we're there. We need to understand what our position is on the field, okay? Where we are supposed to be. The boundaries of what we are supposed to accomplish here. That's not wherever the ball goes. By default, so many of us go to social media and just follow the ball around wherever it goes. Oh, this is like the news cycle item for this week, right? Let's go follow that, and let's go loudly broadcast our opinions about that. Let's argue with fools about that. How much better to go in with a specific intention in mind and pursue that, regardless of what's going on in the weekly news cycle. The things that people will get really upset about for 5 minutes and then forget about forever, right? So, having said all of that, the final thing is we must be disciplined, Paul says. Discipline. Because it's hard. It took so long for the soccer team to get it right. I mean, like, we're pretty far into the season. Why? Because it's hard not to go all over the field. Everything within us wants to go where the ball is, wants it so badly. But to artificially restrict ourselves and say, no, I can't go past midfield. I can't go this way. I can't go that way. I've got a box that I need to stay within. That is discipline. And as Christians, we are called to exercise discipline. And that applies to social media. So what does that mean for us? Number one, this means we don't say everything that we'd like to say. As a Christian, you do not get to say everything that you'd like to say on social media. It's part of being intentional. Second of all, don't look at everything that you would want to look at. You know, there's some things that kind of corrupt our hearts. Maybe it's things we already do agree about, but they're just put forward in a mean way, put forward in a denigrating way to other people, and it kind of poisons us. There's a reason why God calls us to pray for our enemies, right? It's because we want them to change, right? And prayer works, but also it's for us as well. One of the main reasons God has us pray for our enemies is because it changes our own heart. You can't pray blessings for someone and not have it affect the way that you act around them. The reverse is true as well. You can't be inundated by this message that everyone who disagrees with me is a fool and not have that start to affect your heart and the way that you interact with others. And that's just frankly not the movement of the kingdom of God. And finally, we don't get to spend all the time we would like to spend on social media. Some time is okay, but we need to be disciplined and have limits. Otherwise, we're going to get off track. So, for some of us, this means that we need to give it up, honestly. Some of us, I think, our inclinations and our draws are too far towards the negatives and not enough toward the positives. I'm probably in this camp. At least I've voluntarily given up most forms of social media. You go to my Facebook and like tumbleweeds are bouncing around, right? Just because I have better ways to pursue some of these things. So if you're inclined to some of the negative aspects, I might want to encourage you. Sometimes it's appropriate for Christians not to pursue our full freedom in Christ, right? Because we know that it may be bad for us. So having said all of this, Paul's last sentence is kind of telling. He says, you need to have a goal. You need to move towards it. Don't be throwing haymakers at nothing. Don't be following the ball wherever it goes. And have discipline, because if you don't, it could all be ruined. Okay? If you don't have discipline, it could all be ruined. He says, lest after preaching to others, which is good, right? Sharing the truth to others. If you're not disciplined and you don't have an intention in mind, you might be disqualified yourself. You might ruin it all by saying something dumb or doing something stupid or being a hypocrite. You know, all of these things that people look at and now they think poorly of the kingdom of God. So, should we use social media? I'd say yes, but only if we know why we're there. We come with an intention, right? And we don't just go wherever the ball goes, okay? So, why don't you join me in prayer? Father God, we thank you for just the opportunity to get together and kind of explore some of these things of social import today. I thank you for these men that you've given our church, Lord, these leaders with such firm hearts for you and desires to serve you, Lord. Pray that you would continue to give wisdom to our leadership, and Lord, that you would give wisdom to our body here, this congregation, this family. Father God, I pray that we would become a people who are intentional, Lord, that as we approach new tools, that we would pursue relationships, we'd pursue some of these good things, but that we would not let ourselves get drawn into controversies, we wouldn't let ourselves get drawn into things that are not fruitful, that we would make the best use of the time you've given us. Father God, I pray that you'd give us wisdom as we pursue this, because there are dangers in social media. Is give us wisdom and discipline in order to pull back if we need to pull back, and pull back entirely if that's what you're calling us to. But Father, in everything, as always, we pray that you would be glorified, that this movement that we're a part of would continue forward and that it would grow. We pray for our friends and neighbors, Lord, that you would bring them the truth. We pray for those who need advocates, Lord, that we would stand up for them. And that your movement, your kingdom, would be moved forward, and that you would be glorified through that. In your name we pray. Amen.